Let's pick up where we left off yesterday, having sort of set up the play for Chaim. So again, just to mention one more time, there was one very basic problem in the Rambam. Can someone articulate that problem? David? Correct. I would add just one minor error that according to the Gemara there doesn't say it's mutter because malachim it's just gufa, but it certainly says that you're potter. Okay, but you're correct. Shmuel also happens to say that it's potter umutter. But either way, for our purposes now, it doesn't really matter whether malachim it's just gufa is potter or mutter. It is potter, or whether mafis mursa and tanachish are is potter or mutter. The bottom line is that according to the Rambam, he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda ben Melacha Shein Tzichoi Gufa, and nonetheless, he claims that Mafis Mursa and Tzad Nachash are Mutar. And so that's the question. That's the question that everybody confronts within the Rambam. So the Magen Mishnah. Find a Magen Mishnah. Very rarely are there problems that Reb Chaim discovered. In fact, going back and reading Reb Chaim, I think I gained a greater appreciation that it wasn't that Reb Chaim discovered a problem that wasn't, it's that he knew of a problem that already was and he wished to propose a different kind of solution to it. But the answers had already been given. So the Magen Mishnah and Hilchos Shabbos writes, when you listen to some people talk, you think Reb Chaim is the one who had discovered the problem and discovered America. Reb Chaim never made such a claim. So, Reb Chaim, the Magen Mishnah writes, where we Perek Yud Yud Zayin. The Rambam writes, "Hamafish Chin B'Shabbes Kedei LaHarchiv Pi Hamachka Kedera Sharofim Osim." And by the way, that lashon, Kedera Sharofim Osim, to the best of my knowledge, I don't know if the Gemara has it. That's based upon the Tosefta and Adios, and is that the one that's a minor addition Tosefta makes to that halacha? Shem Iskavnim Berufu LaHarchiv Pi Hamachka Harezachai Mishemake BePatish. So the Rambam says Yichayev because of Tikkun Mana Make BePatish. According to Rashi, why be Yichayev? Bona. Shezoi Malachas Harofe. Vim Hefisa Lahotzi Mimen Halecha Sheba. But if you popped it simply to remove the lecha, not to widen the Pesach, to not to aid in the healing by making a wider opening, get more air and whatever, but simply to get the pus out because it was uncomfortable, Hareze Mutter. The Ravid writes here, Malachas Bona.
Okay.
Why else would you do it?
Because you don't like the way it looks.
I suppose, that's also a kind of tower of the gufa, a psychological tower. What's that?
It still is one of the...
I don't think we would make such a distinction between the two. I think you do it all... I mean, you don't do it just for that reason. You do it because it just means that the swelling goes down faster or whatever. Okay. That's what the Rambam writes here. So the Magen Mishnah says...
What's the role they looking for?
The Rambam says he wants a wider Pesach.
And why does he want that?
Apparently because it's part of the healing process. You want to get air. You want to get a little more exposure to the air in there.
But he doesn't mind if he passes there or not.
That's not his primary concern, yes. In other words, he's interested in the Pesach. The person who is Mafis Mursa Lahotzim and Lecha is not interested in whether there is a Pesach there when he's done or not. He just wants to get the pus out. If the pus could ooze out through the skin without creating any Pesach that wasn't there already, let's say the skin were more, porous, so then he'd be just as happy with that. He doesn't care that there's a Pesach.
Probably be happier.
Perhaps even happier. And he may not care one way or the other. Let's say he can be even happier. So, the Magen Mishnah quotes, Ra'isi Mishahikshar Rabbeinu Shepasach B'Shnei Ilumutr Kano B'Sov Perek Zeh Sherebi Perek Shemona Shuatzim Shaninu Atzad Melchayev Shalot Zerach Patu Gmumar Mantana Rehu Demar Rabbi Shimon Hi Demar Melach Shnei Tzuch Al-Gufa Patu Ala Ika Demasana Ha-Mafas Mursa and Ika Demasana Ahotza Nochash. So Rav said, so Mantana Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Rabbi Shimon Hi Ad Kan. So the Achash Rabbeinu Pasach B'Perek Rishon Kiri Mimelach Hashem Etzvich Halagufa Shechayev Aleha Lama Lo Chiyev Be'elu Kishem Shechiyev Lamata B'Perek Zeh B'Tzad Shalo Letzorach. Okay? Ushlashtan Hishru B'Gemara Shehem K'Rabbi Shimon B'Dafka. So you have to explain two questions according to the Rambam. One of the two questions you have to explain, and this is true whenever you have a problem like this in the Rambam, you have to explain, number one, what is the svara. But more important, see, that's the way I would say Brisker's classically think. But more important than that, you have to explain something else as well, which is the first point the Magen Mishnah makes. What do you have to explain? Whatever svara you come up with, what do you have to explain? No, the svara, you know, kralamali svara hi. Forget whatever the svara comes from, wherever you put it together from, you have to explain one basic element. The Gemara says it depends upon Malach HaShem and Tzicha L'Gufa. Clearly, the Rambam doesn't hold that way. Whatever the Hesber is, you're going to give a Hesber to explain why Matis Morsa is not dependent upon Malach HaShem and Tzicha L'Gufa. But to draw a Dinyon, as you'll forgive me, I'm not picking this just because it's on my mind, to draw a Dinyon, as I observed in a shir recently, you know, that the issue of sitting and not sitting in the Sukkah and Shemini Atzeres, much alumdus has been said over the practice. Now, by definition, all the lumdus is wrong. Why? Because the Gemara's conclusion is Mesav Yasina Baruchin Amavachinan. So, whatever fancy Shachavatai and Svara you come up with, it means the Gemara rejected that. I mean, it's a nice Svara, but it's wrong by definition, wrong in terms of the miscarriage of the Gemara. Now, there are ways to come up with change in Matthias and so on, but in terms of principle, a purely lumdish approach by definition is rejected by the Gemara. So, the same thing could be said here. Whatever Hesber you come up with, to explain why Matis Mursa in fact is not talui upon Malach Shein Tzicha L'Gufa, well, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says it is. Yeah, Avi. I don't want to talk about that. I just gave that. I know. Don't even talk about it. Not cut it off. Not a discussion. I just gave that as a mashal when the Gemara
said, and I didn't understand what that meant.
Mesav Yasvin and Baruch Elam, and you said you don't make a bracha.
Okay,
I'm sorry. I just don't. I have a tendency of being dragged off. Some of you know, so I'm going to keep focused. I just picked an example with the Gemara, a recent example where the Gemara has a clear maskana. So whatever lumdus you say by definition is against the maskana of Gemara. You had a question? No. Okay. So the Magen Mishnah's next line is as follows: V'nirli b'teretz esh Rabbeinu Zal Savar she'ein halacha ela kalishna tamish shanu. Now, the first thing he says is the Rambam holds like the first Lashon in the Gemara. If you remember, the way that Gemara worked is we had a Memra of Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, which stated that the Mishnah, that a particular Mishnah is only if you hold Malach HaShein Etzricha L'Gufas Pater Aleha, and must be Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara first applied it to the Mishnah at the beginning of Shemona Shratzim, Hatzadan Litzara Chayiv Shlosa Potter. Classic Malach HaShem Tzicha L'Gufa. Then the Gemara said, Ika Demasli La Mathis Morsav, Ika Demasli La Atzad Nachash. Right, in order that it won't do damage. So the Magen Mishnah's first statement is the Rama holds like the Lishna Kamen. Now, the Ika Demasli, there are those who taught it, but not on the others. Now, the reason that's problematic, although, we'll see, on its own that would be a problematic statement, why? From a textual perspective, usually when the Gemara says "Ika demasna of Ika demasnila,"
they're equal.
They're all correct, meaning it's a statement that applies to all three. And it's the only thing that the Gemara is debating when it says first quotes the statement "Anein," but "Ika demasna of Ika demasnila" is really purely a historical question, and without any intellectual import. Namely, in which context did Rav make the statement originally, or did Rav Yehuda quote Rav as saying it? That was what we read yesterday in Kovzayin Amid Beis. What's that? No, clearly the original statement was stated. It was stated on one of these three things in this case. The only question was which one, but by the simple reading of the Sugya would suggest that, of course, it's applicable to all three. There's no question. Right? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda said, Rav said, this is only if you hold Malach HaShem Tzicha L'Gufa. So the truth is you probably could come up with another. I mean, I don't know if you could come up with, but if there were seven other Mishnayos that has similar mitzvah, so Rav would have, you could have had an Ika Demasni on those as well. It's not that one is correct and one is not correct. It's just okay. Now, Rav Chaim does a little bit of a better job, which the Magen Mishnah starts. And that's very nice. The Rambam ignored it, but why? Why? So the Magen Mishnah wrote twice as a raya. The Yair al Zeh, the Shmuel Amar Bahanu Patur Mutar, the Yehud the Pasat Kiri. So what is his raya here? what is his notion, Raya, his notion of rejecting Mafis Mursa being tied to Malach Hashem Tzichlo Gufa? So we mentioned this yesterday, that Shmuel is the one who says that Kol Pturei de Shabbos Pater Aval Aser Lebar Mehani Plus, which are Tzadnachar, Tzad Tzvi, and Mafis Mursa. So Shmuel says that Mafis Mursa and Tzadnachar Shamutar. Shmuel also paskins like Rabbi Shimon that Malach Hashem Tzichlo Gufa is Chayev. So what's going on? So you see that it doesn't necessarily have to be Haba HaTalia. That's what the Magen Mishnah writes. Now Reb Chaim writes that way, but he takes the suggestion a little bit further. Did anybody get through Reb Chaim? I don't know if you would have noticed this part, but I find this part, I don't want to say the most interesting part of Reb Chaim, but certainly a very important element which typically is neglected. Yeah, I see. What does Reb Chaim say? Did you catch what he said about this? He goes out of his way to point out that Rav and Shmuel argue, and I haven't had a chance to investigate whether this is Mukhrach al Pi HaGemara, whether it's the Amorite, later Amorim's interpretation, but Rav and Shmuel flip poles on the two debates of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. When it comes to Malach Hashem Tzvich Legufa, Rav paskins like Rabbi Shimon, and Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, Lechomer. And when it comes to Davar Shein Miskave, and that one is more well known, so Rav paskins like Rabbi Yehuda Lechomer, and Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Shimon, Lekula. So basically, what Reb Chaim claims is that only according to Rav, who holds that Davar Shein Miskavein, the Psik Reisha, is awesome in HaTorah according to Rabbi Yehuda, only according to Rav that he have to come on to the fact in order to be Mati or Mafis Mursa, you have to say Malach Hashem Tzvicha Lagufa is Pater. And in this case, the summary is Mutter. Only Aliba the Rav, who held that Davar Shein Miskavein is awesome. And who's the Baal HaMemer here? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. If you held like Shmuel, then the reason why Mafis Musa is Mutter, as we're going to see, is because it's a psikration of Lo Nichalei. But if you hold like Rav, that Davar Shein Miskavein in fact is Aser, and by psikration it's Aser in a Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Shabbos. So then, Rav is forced to come on to this idea that the reason why Mafis Musa is Mutter, even though a psikration of Lo Nichalei is Chayav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that it's a Malach Hashem Tzvicha Legufa. So that's why, that's even going delving further in the text, he's not only using the spur of Shita Shmuel, who clearly holds... Sorry, fly. Remember what I warned you guys yesterday about swatting flies. Okay, it applies in Shir as well. So not only according to Shmuel, and not only does he start with Shmuel, that Mafis Mursa is Mutter, despite the fact that Malach Hashem Tzricha Lagufa... He likes Reb Chaim too. That Malach Hashem Tzricha Lagufa is Asur Minatara, and nonetheless Mafis Morsa's Mutter. He starts with that, but he goes a step further by pointing out that the sugya in the beginning of Shmona Shvatzin in fact is Dafka, and you notice according to the Gemara Aliba the Rav, and only Rav had to resort to Malach Hashem Tzvich Legufa. Had Rav held like Rabbi Shimon by Davar Shein Miskavein, the Gemara would never have invoked the Malach Hashem Tzvich Legufa. Now this provides you also theoretically with another little piece, perhaps, which is we started out by thinking that if it's a Malach Hashem Tzvich Legufa, in principle, what should the din have been by Mafis Mursa? If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, what should the din have been? Pater Umut, Pater Avalasa. That's what the din should have been. And one of Tosis's Raya is against the Aruch, because we know that every Malach Hashem Tzvich Legufa is Pater Avalasa. So one of Tosis's Raya is against the Aruch about Psik Reish Adon Nichalei was what? The Aruch said Psik Reish Adon Nichalei is Mutter, Tosa said it's part of Asa. Was Mafis Morsa, it's only Mutter Mishim Tzara the Gufa. But how do you know that? So the answer is, the only reason I think Tosas could assert that is because the Gemara links it to Sad Nacha Shalol Tzorach, and Sad Shmona Shratzim Shalol Tzorach, which we know in that case clearly is part of Asa. Right? Sad one of the Shmona Shratzim, but you don't actually need to share it. It's Potter, but it's Aser. Saddam Shalal Tzarach is Potter, but certainly Aser. So yeah, that's only Aliba the Rav who put it in the category Malach Hashem Tzvich Legufa. So if the only reason why Mafis Morsa is Potter is because of Malach Hashem Tzvich Legufa, then it would have been Potter Aval Aser, except for the fact that Tzara the Gufa, the Chachamim weren't goes in this case. But once you say that it's not an issue of Malach Hashem Tzvich Legufa anymore, but perhaps that Mafis Morsa, it's because of Psik Reish Adon Nichalei, so I don't know what the Gemara holds on Psik Reish Adon Nichalei. That Gemara, that's mashma, that it's only Pater Avalasar, it's not, And the Gemara says Mishum Tara Degufa, but we can certainly extrapolate if it's a Malach Shein Sichu Gufa, it's also. And the only reason it's obviously Mutter is because it's Tara Degufa. But if you assume that the basis of Mafas Mursa is not Malach Shein Sichu Gufa, but rather Davar Shein Miskaven, so then Tosis is Kash from the Aruch is Nistalka. The question is removed. Tosus equates between the two. Why? Because Tosus takes that sugya and he flattens them. In other words, he takes Mafis Morsa as a case of Psik Reshul Dan Lichalei, and he says, you see, that's really just a Malach Hashem Tzvichal Agufa. The Aruch says that's not true, that there's a difference between a Malach Hashem Tzvichal Agufa and a Psik Reshul Dan Lichalei. What is the difference, by the way? What is the difference between a Psik Reshul Dan Lichalei and a Malach Hashem Tzvichal Agufa? No.
That's what
Tosus
says.
Well, Tosus is blurring the lines. How would the Aruch make a distinction between the two? How would the Aruch distinguish? We actually spoke about this. No. Let's assume if Malach Shein Tzvichal Gufa is Nichalei, it might be according to everybody Yechayev. In other words, if when I dig a pit in the field because I want the dirt, I also want the hole, it's also good for me. That might be Chayev according to Rabbi Shimon. So let's assume that Malach Shein Sukufa is at best Lo Ichpas Lei, maybe it's Lo Nichalei as well. So how does the Aruch distinguish? In other words, this is a question that should bother everybody. Rav Eger actually states the answer, which some obviously Tosas didn't hold this way. Rav Eger on the Mishnayos and Shabbos, somewhere in the first few Prakim, lays this out, which I think it's fairly obvious because I figured it out too. So therefore, you don't need a great Chacham to figure that out. What's the distinction between a Psik Resha, the Lo Nichalei and a Malacha, or Lo Ichpas Lei and a Malacha Shein Tzvichal Agufa? David?
It's whether you do the action itself, just want it for different reasons, or the result is secondary.
Okay, so I think that the way Rabbi Akiva Eiger says is that a Malacha Shein Tzvichal Agufa is when you do A is the Malacha, but you do it for the wrong reason, or you're not interested in the normal result. Psik Resha, Nichalei, Lo Nichalei, whatever, Psik Resha means you do A and B results. Now that's why I was first troubled by this in the context of Mafis Morsa. I thought Tosus. Now in some cases it works, in some cases it doesn't. In the case of Mafis Morsa, Malach Shein Tzvichal Gufa is I do Pula A. Pula A is the Malacha, but I do it not for the normal reason people do Pula A, or not for the reason they did in the Mishkan, but for a different reason. That's correct, and it also doesn't work. It doesn't work in the case of Tzad Nachash. It works in the case of Mafis Morsa the way the Rambam formulates it.
You said that you like a few weeks ago, you said that you once thought that was the difference.
I agree, but some of the cases don't work. So I'm just saying. What's that? Some of the I don't know the full answer, but the obvious one, but it doesn't work in all the cases unless you play very fancy footwork, is to argue one pu'ula versus result of a pu'ula. Okay. Now by Mafis Morsa, I said it's actually a readily arguable case, because what you're really doing is you're pushing the pus out. That's what you're doing. You're not making a Pesach as much as if you want to make a Pesach. How do you make a Pesach? You take a little sharp instrument and you make a little hole, right? You make a little incision. You break the skin. Here what you're doing is you're squeezing the wound. You're squeezing the wound to push the pus out. If the pus could seep out through the normal pores, and sometimes it could happen without making a Pesach, perhaps, I don't know. I mean, well, I can't say it's sometimes. It's going to definitely happen in this case, otherwise maybe it'll shame the scavi. But if it might come out through the pores on a different context, so that would be just as well. You're not making a Pesach. You are squeezing the pimple, and mamela the Pesach comes because of the pressure. What you're really doing is you're pushing the pus, and the mela that creates a pesach. That's psik davar shein miskaven bipsik resha. Whereas if you were to actually, do the action, except that you, and that is the malacha. I'll give you an example. Even in this case, let's say your only goal is to get the pus out, but you do it by picking a pin and popping the thing, okay, and then the pus starts to ooze, right? So that would be Malach Shein Tzvichal Agufa, as opposed to pushing the pus. The question is how one is going to explain Tzad Nachash in that fashion, okay? How you explain Tzad Nachash in that fashion? Now that's why, in some ways, the Magen Mishnah's approach is perhaps more appealing. But you really have to figure things out here. So what does the Magen? So we're going to come back to Reb Chaim. Okay, but that's how Reb Chaim deals with the text, which is very nice. It's the part of Reb Chaim that rarely gets cited. Okay, that the Shachlan Tayyah and Kosayin Amad Beis is only needed for Rav, because Rav holds Melach Shem Eskavein is Chayev on Shabbos, over Pesik Reisha is Chayev on Shabbos, because he passed against like Rabbi Yehuda. But for Rabbi Shimon, once you hold a Melach Shem Tzvichel Gufa, once you hold that Davar Shem Eskavein is Mutter, and therefore, as we'll see, Pesik Reisha Dan Olichale at least is Patu Al-Vasar at the worst, so then, Mimele, you don't have any problems with Mafis, Mursa, and Sad Nachash. Okay, what does the Magen Mishnah say? So he says that Vatam Shahafasa Samursa Hu Gemar Malacha Kishu Laharchit Piyamaka, that squeezing out the pas is a Gemar Malacha when the goal is to be Marachit the Maka. The Shaloka Deve Rashi Zal Shakasa Mishumbone Mimenalecha, but when the purpose is to remove the pas, ain't a gemar malacha. V'yesha lava ba chiyav maka bepat the shugmar malacha b'shum panim. So what did the Magen Mishnah say? And this, I think, can be illuminated a little bit by what we suggested yesterday about the gemar in Sukkah. So maka bepat is a funny malacha. Yeah. So the argument of the Magen Mishnah is that in order for something to be considered Maka V'Patish, it's totally upon the intent of the person doing it. Meaning, for something to be a Gemara Malacha, it has to be the intent that it's for a Gemara Malacha. Otherwise, it's not a Gemara Malacha. Now, there's when an action is inherently a Malacha. When an action is inherently a Malacha, this is not going to help you. But when the intent is intrinsic to defining something as a malacha, and he would argue, and I see this argument again better by Mafis Mursa than Sanachash, but he'll talk about Sanachash for a second. But when an argument is inherent, when an intent is inherent to making something a malacha, so if you are Mafis Mursa lahotzimen aleicha, that's not makeh bepatish shalolagufa. That's not makeh bepatish. Now I understand that somewhat by Gemar Malacha. That's somewhat more intuitive there. He continues talking in the context of Tzad Nachash. What's that? It makes more sense in the context of Fasas Morsa. But then he says, "V'chein say the Sanachash she'eno Tzad kedarko ala misaseg bo uchamoshi yisbari lamata." And then he goes on to give a different hesber, which Pash is not correct, not the Rambam's sense. Sakonas nafashas. Putting that one aside, what does he say? So now he adds another layer to the text. Now what is the Rambam's lashon? Yeah, the Rambam writes, first I don't know what the Magen Mishnah is talking about. The Rambam writes in Halacha Chafei, Ramasim ha-mazikin kegon nechashim va-akrabim v'chayotze ben afo pish enam amisin hol v'noshchin mutar lotzor on Samba Shabbos. It says that Ramasim that do damage, like snakes and scorpions, and it means non-poisonous ones. Are there non-poisonous scorpions? They're definitely non-poisonous snakes.
Yeah.
There are non-poisonous scorpions. Okay, good. Okay, although many scorpions also, for one, depending, one bite is not going to kill an adult, right? But that's a side point. It can be very painful, I'm told. Very, very painful. There was that, I like to read Yahoo's, oddly enough. So there's this woman who set a record recently in Malaysia or something like that. She stayed in a box with scorpions for a number of days, and apparently her body's built up immunity to a certain amount of the toxin. So, but people who normally don't have that immunity, it's very apparently very, very painful. The scorpion bite. Okay. You have a shagayim in this world. You know, someone with that kind of willpower, could you imagine what they could do if they actually put their mind to doing productive things? Okay. Anyway, so clearly the Rambam is not talking about Sakanas Nefashas here. Mazikin, they do hezek. So, Afal Pishen Mamisen Hovanoshkin Mutter Lotzaros Amishabis. Vuhu, now look what he writes. Vuhu Shiskave Mehi Notzel Minashichasam. And that's that his intent is to be prevented from getting bitten. Kate said, Awosa Kofa Kle Alam O Makif Alam O Koshron Kedesha Lo Yaziko. Okay, tie up. Here's my snake in captivity, right? He's got a noose tied around his neck. Koshron, it's pretty funny. You tie, I guess, a remes. You can tie a little, what do they call that? What's that lizard? The poison? The Gila monster. And you tie the, you put a rope around a leash or a collar on the Gila monster's neck and you tie it up. Okay, it's a lizard. It's a lizard. Poisonous lizard. Okay, so notice that the Rambam here So the Rambam just writes that your kavana is to avoid being bitten. And he describes what I think would constitute a normal tzeda. The Magen Mishnah is claiming that the lashon of the Mishnah is actually more meduyah. That im kimis aseg basha lo yishkanam. We pointed out it's a bizarre language. Right? Sad nachash, just say, if it's to avoid being bitten, your potter and lefuah, if you need the snake because you need to make snake oil to heal somebody with, so then you chayim because you need the snake. You actually need it. It's tarach lagufa. So the Magen Mishnah is claiming, he doesn't really explain why, that somehow if you're tzad in the nachash, kemisasek bushel yishchenu, that's not even tzad. It's not that it's tzad, she'ena tzricha lagufa. It's not called tzad. Now, it's hard to know from the Rambam's lashon what that means. Now, you know, I don't know if he means that the way you normally do tzeda, I mean, it's not true though. You know, real tzeda would be if you grab the snake. But if you just do something to create a barrier between you and the snake, so perhaps one can argue that you're not actually, if your intent is not to keep it, so you're not really, you're not confining the snake, you're keeping the snake away from you. In other words, if I put up a little wall between me and the snake, okay, and I make the wall long enough and tall enough, so the snake can't crawl over it, so that effectively accomplishes keeping the snake away from me without actually hunting the snake. The snake could go 100 miles in the other direction. Now, the reality is, of course, it's hard to make such a wall, so it might be more convenient to me to make sure that the snake can only go in circles inside the box. But somehow, I mean, somehow the Magen Mishnah feels that that's not actually called Seda. He feels it's not called Seda until your intent is actually to keep the snake. It's difficult. What? Where does he say it's not called Seda? He says again, B'chein Seda's Nachash. He doesn't actually use that language. So you want a tiny that he holds.
Then that would just make it putter, and then maybe.
Yeah, except for the reference he makes. The reference he makes is to Halacha Chafdalet. And I don't know. He says a chamoshi yisbar lamata, but lachachav dalet. That's not his reference. Hatzad svi zaken ochiger ocholo katan patzer mefarik behema. Oh, there's the answer, by the way. Which we were discussing yesterday. If the svi is elderly, can't move, or chiger, it's lame, or sick, or katan, you patzer. You're not chayiv for it because you don't have to run after it, right? And you can just walk up to it like you'd walk. That's not called tzeda. Hatzad chayiv ochshe b'shuso. So that means it's not called, those are potter because it's not called tzeda. No, it's not called tzeda d'oraisa. No, I don't. That's not what's going on there. Why? Because it's not b'mino nitzot. That's not shinui. Shina means I do the malacha in a funny way. This is not doing the malacha. I see how you could have read it, you know, kilach ayad, but she'eno tzod kedarko, and misasek bo, and that's the lashon mishnah shelo yishchenu. So what does that mean? So why is it potter? No, the rabbanon it would be aser. If not, it is mutter in this case. Which one? The case of nachash. Chavdalet is potter because midaraisa it's not called seda. Seda has to be something that's normally nitzot. It's not because of a shinui. If it's ain't darko b'kach, it's not seda min haTorah. Midrabanan they asked it because you're hunting a bachai, but it's not called seda unless it's something that's normally hunted. That's not shinui. Shinui means I do something that's a malacha, but the ofan mishuna. Right. So he's saying it's not called seda.
And
in this case, mutter. But he doesn't really explain why it's not called Seda in this case. Right? His analogy is to that case that it's simply not called Seda. So that's what he doesn't really explain why. Mikhail?
So, is he saying that because you can do the thing with the wall, for example, then you can do the thing with the box?
No, he doesn't say that. I'm feeling for what he's driving at. But if, by analogy from the first case, of Maka B'Patish, clearly he says that if your intent is not for this to be for the Pesach, then it's not even called Maka B'Patish. So he means the same thing by Seda. If your intent is not to take the Nachash, then it's not even called Seda. Now, why? How do you differentiate that from the Mishnah which says Sadan Letzorach versus Sadan Shelo Letzorach, where clearly everybody has to be maskim that to the Ukimta there of Rav Yudam Arav, that that's Malach Hashem and Tzvi Chalagufa, and you're only part of your hold like Rabbi. If you're only part of your hold like Rabbi Shimon, so I can't really fully explain why this Tzeda is not Kedarka. Why this Tzeda, because it's Shelo Kedarka, and not a Shinoi, but it's not called Tzeda. But the Magen Mishnah seems to be stating that that's not called the Malach of Tzeda at all, and you have to distinguish that. He doesn't take the time to distinguish that between Sad Shemad Satchim Shalal Tarah. Why that's called Seda, but it's a Malach Shein Tzichah Gufa, which is only part of Aliba the Rabbi Shimon. Now, as in a sidebar, just for future reference, this I believe is a pivotal point in a lot of Malach Shabbos, which is defining when a Malach done in a certain fashion or for a certain purpose, when is it called the Malach Shein Tzichah Gufa, versus when is it called no longer a Malach? It's not even a Malach. But let me ask you the following question. If you want to be Tzad the Nachash, and you put a box on top of it, you want snake oil, you throw a net on top of it, you throw a box on top of that, is that Seda?
Yes.
That's absolutely Seda. So when you throw a box on it, but not for the purposes of getting the snake oil, but just keeping the snake away from you, why is that not called the Malach Hashem Tzvi Chalagufa? So if you have the answer to the question, I'd be thrilled. My point is simply that sometimes the intent of a malacha, or the lack of proper intent for a malacha, means it's a malacha shein tzicha legufa, and sometimes it means it's not a malacha at all.
Why, if you actually want the snake back, right? Going to box on it, or step, grab the snake.
Once the snake is no longer mechusat tzeda, if you chase a deer into a narrow enclosure, where it's now very easy to capture. And the Gemara and Beitza, you learn. No, is the key going to be the Bikiyas? Yes, I don't remember if you were there for that Bikiyas. When we did the second, third part, you weren't there for that. Okay, so you're part of that part of Beitza. So the Sugya there, in the beginning of the third part in Beitza, and in Kovav, in Shabbos, describes what's called Mechusat Tzeda. So if I can grab it in one run, it's Mechusat Tzeda, it's no longer Mechusat Tzeda. And therefore, if I take it from the wild state into that state, even though I haven't grabbed it yet, that's called Seda.
But it's with the intent of grip. You know, it could be the second part is necessary.
Why? Why? If the definition of Seda is moving something from a Mechusar Seda state to a non-Mechusar Seda state.
With the intention of...
So Mehecha Tesei, when do you get that idea? I mean, you could work in reverse. You could say...
Everyone else is just throwing out stuff. You know, this is just...
No, but here's your problem, David. Your Tzad Deshman Ushratam Letzorach versus Shalol Letzorach. Shalol Letzorach, I don't know. You have to go back and define what is Shalol Letzorach there. If you're right... maybe you're right. Maybe that's what the Mishnah will have to say. He'll say that the definition of Tzeda is... is hunting something, not protecting yourself from something. Hunting something means that you narrow it down in such a fashion where you now control it, where you want to control it. Right? In the same, look, tzad, what is tzad tzvi? Tzad tzvi, what if I'm not particularly interested in the deer? I might open my house later and let the deer out when I'm ready to air my house out, but right now I want to go to the supermarket, so I go and I lock the door because I want to keep robbers out. I don't care about the tzvi, right? It's a similar type of thing. Perhaps that's not called tzeda at all. By the way, we could take that back. I don't think we broached that possibility, really. But within the Rashi, that Yushalmi, not Yushalmi, but trying to explain, perhaps there's a middle ground between the Yushalmi maybe it's really the Rashba's third answer, not the fourth answer, as to why Tzad Tzvi is Mutter. So the first two answers the Rishonim is that you don't know that the Tzvi is there. So that's really a Misase. But the last answer was that it doesn't matter even if you know is the Tzvi is there and you want it. But the middle answer said if you're not really interested in the Tzvi, what you're interested in doing is closing your house. So it could be that it's not called Tzeda anymore. Tzeda means when your intent is to confine something. Without the intent, it's not that it's a melach shein tzichah gufa. It's not that it's a tzikreishon l'michalei. It's that it's not sought at all. Aaron, you're blocking David. So responding to him. Okay, fine. Okay, so that was the Magen Mishnah's approach. Okay. Now, what about Reb Chaim? What about Reb Chaim? So what does Reb Chaim say? Does anyone want to take a stab at telling us what Reb Chaim says? The Magen Mishnah is a very nuts and bolts answer, almost balabatish. Right? It might be correct. I would even venture to say it's probably correct. But what does Reb Chaim say? So maybe we'll read all our parts of Reb Chaim. But let me run by you the Alper before reading Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is not easy to read. Once you understand what Reb Chaim says, it's extremely lucid the way he writes. But it's sometimes daunting or intimidating to try to get over this. Has, by the way, nobody encountered this Reb Chaim at all in any of their learnings? Oh, thank you. For those are the exubas with me. I know, Casper's smiling. So yes, you heard this Reb Chaim. Okay. But this is a very well-known thing because the issue of Sikra Shadol Nichole is an issue very much halacha l'maisa. Now, I don't know what Reb Chaim actually held on Sikra Shadol Nichole. What he does hold that the Rambam helps Sikra Shadol Nichole is mutter. I don't know what which briskers follow the Rambam l'chumra and l'kula, and which briskers follow the Rambam only l'chumra. But Reb Chaim's simple point is the Rambam holds that Sikra Shadol Nichole is mutter like the Aruch. So how does Reb Chaim arrive there? So the question is the same. The question is, how does the Rambam paskin that Mafis Mursa and Seidas Nachash are mutarim on Shabbos? How does he paskin that they just they were patur if Malachas Shein Tzmichu Gufas Chaim? So Reb Chaim says the following. We have a machlokas b'chol Torah kula between Rabbi Hud and Rabbi Shimon about davar shein miskave, whether it's mutar or whether it's chayif. Rabbi, what is the machlokas about? Well, the machlokas has obviously nothing to do with melachas mashavas. What is melachas mashavas? I owe that as an explanation. I may never have clearly articulated this. Anyone want to venture a guess? What is melachas mashavas? Other than being a term that you find in Parshas Kisis and Vayaka. Yes? So you're pulling a piece from Chaim. Melachas mashavas requires a certain level of intent and calculation and efficiency. When you do a malacha on Shabbos, malachas in the Mishkan didn't happen haphazardly. They were done as lasos b'chol malachas mashavas. So what are examples of things that are excluded from being the category malachas mashavas? And because they are excluded, min ha-Torah, they are patur legamrei on Shabbos and sometimes mutter. So mekalkel is one that everybody agrees to that. Mekalkel on the malacha on Shabbos is not a malachas mashavas. The malachas mashavas in the Mishkan was constructive, productive, in the most part creative as well. So mekalkel on Shabbos min haTorah is mutter. Midrabbanon it's also mekalkel of a malacha. Malacha shein tzricha legufa, probably according to Rabbi Shimon, is a lack of malachas mashavas. It's a malacha that's done with intent, but it's done sort of with the wrong intent. It's done with calculation, but it's not done with the normal goal and purpose in mind. That's not called a malachas mashavas, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Hud obviously disagrees. He says, you knew what you were doing. You did it. You did it for a different reason. That's still a malachas mashavas. But that obviously, by the way, is a much higher standard of malachas mashavas that you don't necessarily have to have. And that becomes theoretically, significant. Misasek is not a malachas mashavas. Why? It's not calculated. Misasek happens. You can't do a misasek on purpose. Just like the one mitzvah of the Torah that's very clear that you can't do on purpose is shicha. Right? You can't do mitzvah shicha on purpose. Right? By definition, that's not forgetting. I have to remember to forget. I have no trouble remembering to remember. Right? Remembering to forget is too difficult for me. So anyway. What else? Perhaps malacha shel kayama. Something has to be a certain degree of permanence. Temporary malacha is not called a malacha mashavas. There are all sorts of things. Now, Dabar Shein and Miskavein depend upon malacha mashavas being mutter? So the answer is obviously not. Why? David? Applies throughout Shas, applies Kol HaTorah Kula according to Rabbi Shimon. Kilayim, the Hanoi, whatever it is in the Gemara Misachim. It applies to Baheres in theory. It applies to everything. And Melachas Mashavas is only an exemption when it comes to Shabbos. By the way, it's only an exemption when it comes to Shabbos. Misasek, by the way, can come sometimes. When we do the Kalkelas of Shabbos, which hopefully we'll get to tomorrow, tomorrow's Wednesday. I want you to do tomorrow, by the way, the first parak in the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, and then start the Kalkelah Shabbos. The Kalkelah, there's a perish on the Mishnayos known as the Tiferes Yisrael. Most people don't really use it. They use the Mishnah that contains it, the standard Yochanan Bar's edition, but not too many people, I think, actually read the Tiferes Yisrael. He has two columns underneath. One is the Yochanan and one is the Boaz. Why are they so named? Because there are two columns in Shlomo's palace. Okay, the Amud HaYimini and the other one. One was called Yochanan and one was called Boaz. One of them has basic comments, explanatory comments on the Mishnah, and is enumerated to the Mishnah. That's what the numbers are, all those little numbers in the Mishnah, and they get very high. The other column, I think it's the Boaz, if I got it straight, are longer pilpulim. And expansions on particular on issues that arise. So in it, he has several long introductions, including one on the Luach. Okay, I haven't read it. In fact, I don't really feel the need to read it at this point. But some of you, I'm sure, also don't feel. You probably need to, but you don't feel the need to read it. So the anyway, he has this very famous introductions called the Kalkelas HaShabbos. So he has the core of it is the Lamitas Malachas, but he has an introduction to almost everything in Shabbos. If you're really looking to get a good background, I don't know if you can get it all on your own just by reading what he says, because it helps if you kind of know Gemara Shabbos a bit. But some of them, but the beginning, certainly, he designed it in mind with fewer cases. And he goes through the six things that are required in order for a Malacha to be really a Malacha, in a Torah. So he talks about Kavana and Kayama and... You know, he's got some simon there, which itself is hard enough to understand what the simon is. It's six letters, but it's bizarre. Seven letters, right? So you got to figure out which one. Something makak, and the mem kof is makalkel. What's that? Kageshem makak. Okay, thought he was another yal kagam. There at least it was six letters to six cases. Anyway, if you get an edition of the Mishnah, the Yochanan Bar, which the Beis Medrash has, you simply open up the first volume of Moed and the Kalkelas HaShabbos is printed there. Anyway, so in there he'll talk about all these sorts of issues. So anyway, did I want to explain one thing before we turn back to so Misalim? He gives you examples of Misalim there. Not according to the Rambam, but according to, let's say, the Balei Tosfos, if I intend to light this candle and I end up lighting this I think everybody increases, and I light the other candle, that's also called Misasek. Machlokas HaTanayim, the Mishnah increases, but there, it's explicit that we pass in that your Pater on Shabbos because of Misasek. Now, interestingly enough, there's a very famous Rav Kiva Eger on, it's in the Tshuva, Simen Ches, where he notes that Misasek, there is a din of Misasek perhaps by other dinim as well, and there is a din of Misasek by Shabbos. Now, what Rikiv Eger observes, the Gemara in the din is by Nizokin. This is a very important Rikiv Eger. I'll say it about Pen now, but to see why the analog to Shabbos. By Nizokin, there is a din that even if you Misasek, you're chayiv. Even in Misasek, you're chayav. So, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, so the Gemara at the end of Bava Kamma, observing if a person falls off a roof, and depending on what he does and how it happened, so the Gemara, one comment says, Lagabe Shabbos, he's potza melachs masheves asur Torah, Lagabe Nizak, and he's chayav, because if a person is chayav, Adam chayav, e mishog, e mimezen. So Rabbi Kiva Eger asked the question, which is, why does the Gemara have to say that Misasek is potza by Shabbos, because Malachas Masheves Asur Torah. Misasek is Pata B'chol Torah Kula, except for Chalav M'arayas. So why does the Gemara have to say Malachas Masheves Asur Torah? So Rikiv Eger says something incredible. He says, you know there's a din of Chayvei Misa Shogigim, right? What's Chayvei Misa Shogigim? Alright, if I go burn down somebody's house on Shabbos, the Yidim come and warn me, I'm doing Malacha, I say Ahal Pikein, they bring me a basin and kill me. Do I have to pay for the house? No, that's come later to rob me. What's Chayvei Misa Shogigim? What if the Edom didn't warn me? I didn't know it was Asa to burn. I knew it was Asa to burn down your house, but I didn't know it was Asa to burn down anything on Shabbos. So I go and I burn it down on Shabbos. So in that case, I'm chayav to pay you for the house. I should have been chayav to pay you for the house. I'm chayav to bring a carbon chatas, right? Because chayav misa shogigin. So the dinner is according to Tana B'chiski Yipater. That since it was an Aveira, that... What? Potter from paying. Since it was an Aveira... It wasn't Aveira, and that could potentially have involved Misa, even though it didn't in this case. You apply Kam Levi the Rav Yinei. Correct. Kabbalah Machperes is correct. Correct. It's absolutely correct. I'm sorry. This I don't want to do that sugya now, but Kamalei B'Rami May is related to the sugya about Machperes. Absolutely. Okay. Now, so Rav Kiva Eiger suggests that Misasek is an Avera, is a Maisa Avera v'chala Parakula. It's just that you're not chayav v'chatas. It's Gzeres HaKosav Asher HaTaba Prat L'Misasek. Okay? I mean, you don't bring a carbon chatas for it. It's a Petur chatas. But it's still an Avera. It still requires tshuva. It still requires kapara. You just don't have to bring a carbon chatas. So if that were the case, what would it then be if you were misasek on an avera that involved Mises based in, and in the process you did nezek? What should it then be? Do you have to pay or not pay? So Rekiv Eger says, well, of course you'd be pata from paying, because that's like chayve Mises shogigin, where you do a Mises avera, and even though you're not actually chayve Mises, since it was an avera that potentially involved Mises, you say come levi the rabba mine. But Rabbi Kiveger says, because it's Shabbos, and by Shabbos, in addition to the general Ptur Karban of Misasek, Asher Chataba, Misasek is also not a Melechus Masheves. So anything that's not a Melechus Masheves on Shabbos, generally speaking, is Potter in theory Mutter. It's not even a Maisa Averas. Rabbi Kiveger says, that's why the Gemara in Baba Kama, when it tells you Yechayev Legabe Nezek, Yechayev Legabe Shabbos, Yepotor. Why? Because Malachas Masheves Asra Torah. It's dafka because it's Petur of Shabbos. If it were Petur of Kol Torah Kula and it involved potential Mises based in which you don't get, so you would say Kam Levi the Rambam Yechayev Mises Shogim. Because it's Shabbos and Malachas Masheves Asra Torah, anything that's not a Malachas Masheves is mutter minator. It's not even a ma'aseh avera, which happens not to have a carbon. It's a mamish, not an avera at all. So malachas masheves. What's that?
You would have.
That's why the Gemara says legabe nizachin chayev adam ol olam beimezim bemishal gremos bemiratza. That's very famous with Rav Kiveger and Simon Ches. Now you take this back to Reb Chaim. Take it back to our case. Be aware that davar sheina miskafin, Reb Chaim points out, on Shabbos is potter for two reasons. Why? Why is davar sheina miskavin potter on Shabbos? Because not a melachas masheves, A, and B, it's a davar sheina miskavin. Like kol tara kula, ain't a miskavin, not a miskavin, dami, according to Rabbi Shimon. So Reb Chaim uses this to explain two things. And the truth is, Tosfos already says this. Tosfos doesn't say it around, but Tosfos already lays out this yourself. Tosfos very short that we read yesterday in Shabbos. Tosfos a little longer in Krasis, and Tosfos a great length in Yoma. Tosfos says that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, davar sheina miskavin on Shabbos is potter min haTorah, is mutter min haTorah. Why? Because even Rabbi Yehuda holds of the category of melachas masheves. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda holds b'chol haTorah kula that ainu miskavin ki miskavin dami, and therefore mitzad the heter of davar sheina miskavin, it's going to be asur chayev on Shabbos. But davar sheina miskavin still is not a melachas masheves, and therefore even according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, davar sheina miskavin is potter aval asur on Shabbos. He agrees with Rabbi Shimon on the dimin haTorah. So Reb Chaim now says as follows. He says that what makes something not a malachas masheves by davar sheina miskavin? Why is a davar sheina miskavin not a malachas masheves? Michael? Not. I don't like that formulation. You need das what?
You need das on the
mice. Well, you have das on the mice. In order to have das on the malacha, you're jumping around the point. In order to something to be malach masheves, it means you have to know what's going to happen. And the malach masheves means a calculated action. Now, if in fact washing my hands over the grass always accomplishes watering the grass and making it grow, so I can say that I killed two birds with one stone. That's called a malach masheves. I know that when I water my hands over the grass, it will water the grass and make it grow. Even though what I'm doing really is washing my hands, but I kill two birds with one stone. But if watering the grass only works to make the grass grow, if the sun is shining at greater than a 55 degree angle, and I have no really way of knowing. It's purely random or whatever it is. So that's not a very efficient way of watering the grass, is it? And I would be much better off in doing something else. So in order for something to be a malachas ma'ashavas, you have to know what's going to happen. So Reb Chaim says that even though davar she'eino miskaven is not a malachas ma'ashavas, once it's a p'sik reishe, that's already called the malachas ma'ashavas. Now, does michale or lo michale have an impact upon that? Why not? Because either way you know it's going to happen. Where does michale and lo michale have an impact? But what? In, yeah, when you talk about his ratzon, when you talk about his kavana, meaning b'chol tarkul as well, that nichalei or lo nichalei might have an impact on what we do as his real, his internal essential kavana being. In other words, when something is nichalei, we might argue that even Rabbi Shimon says that we don't, but a davar she'eino miskaven is that she'eino miskaven ki miskaven dami because it's nichalei. We don't, but we do make the distinction with p'sik reishe. With p'sik reishe, according to Rabbi Shimon, so yeah, it's vaday malachas ma'ashevas, but it's still a davar she'eino miskaven. Unless it's nichalei. If it's nichalei, so then we can argue that a p'sik reishe, that a davar she'eino miskaven, b'psik reishe as the term goes. And davar she'eino miskaven means I do A, and B sometimes happens, or it always happens. There's a davar she'eino miskaven per plain, a vanilla flavor, and there's davar she'eino miskaven p'sik reishe. So Reb Chaim says that davar she'eino miskaven p'sik reishe, so then, whether I say Einam Iskavein Kim Iskavein Dami or Einam Iskavein Lav Kim Iskavein Dami depends upon whether Nichalei or Nichalei. If it's automatic and Nichalei, so then we're going to say that my Kavana when I do A is also for B. If, however, I'm not interested in it, I don't want it, so then one could still insist that Psik Reishe, the Lo Nichalei, is in fact Mutter. And what is an example? It's Keino Iskavein. And what's an example of this? Pouring the yayin al gabei ha'ishim. The Aruch says that that's called the p'sik reishe del nichalei. And that, why is it mutter? Yeah, by a p'sik reishe del nichalei. But by a p'sik reishe del lo nichalei, so why? I'm sorry, why is Rabbi Shimon moda by a p'sik reishe according to Bayim Rava? Because since it's nichalei, we already say, ein miskavein, ki miskavein dami. But when it's lo nichalei, so Rabbi Shimon, now it resorts to being, or reverts to being, a davish regular davish and a miskaven, even though the result is automatic, because I'm not interested in it, and sometimes medafka, I don't want it, so obviously I'm not miskaven for that. It happens bal karchi. It's not that I had kavana for it, Michael.
So, we're saying that not only is there no such thing as davish and a miskaven on psik reishe de nichalei, but also if it's malachas ma'ashevas, then...
Say that again, not only...
you can't say it's davar she'eino miskaven psik reishe de nichalei.
Right, well, you say in that case it's that ein miskaven ki miskaven dami, so it's a davar miskaven, yeah?
Right, okay, we're saying that, but we're also saying that a malachas ma'ashevas is always going to be... is never going to... that. So you can never have a case of malachas ma'ashevas that was a psik reishe...
Period. End the sentence there. That's the point. Rechaim says that explicitly. That every psik reishe by definition, the malach ma'ashevas. Yes, Ozzy.
So if it's a davar she'eino miskaven, why does that matter?
Psik reishe,
we don't care about kavanah, we care about
dot. For whom?
For Rabbi. Why should we?
The point is, see, this is why the Gemara Masechim is so essential to Rechaim's point. The Gemara Masechim makes it clear that it's not a question of foreknowledge, it's a question of kavana. Kavana means intent for B to happen in the sense of ratzon, right? Desire. What's that? Rabbi Yehuda believes that knowledge automatically means kavana. Rabbi Shimon says it's not true. Rabbi Yehuda believes that knowledge, I mean, you could formulate this more than one way, but I'm more comfortable saying Rabbi Yehuda believes that knowledge equals ratzon. Because if I didn't want it, I wouldn't do it. What's that? No. Malach ma'ashevas means... No, malach ma'ashevas, it requires kavana, but it also requires that it must happen. Once the result is not guaranteed, it's no longer called the malach ma'ashevas. Once it's a psik reishe, it's called the malach ma'ashevas. You still have to evaluate whether he's miskaven. Yodea he is, but miskaven. Lav correct. Only when it's nichalei do we now turn around and say that not only do you know it's going to happen, but you want it to happen. That in English, I think that captures it well. The reason why something, a davar she'eino mitzkaven, is not a melachas machshavos is because you don't know it's going to happen. The reason why it's a davar she'eino mitzkaven is because you don't care for it. You don't want it to happen. It was not your active desire for it to happen. When something is a psik reshe, then you know it's going to happen even if you don't want it to happen. When it's a psik reshe the nichale, you both know it's going to happen and you want it to happen. It's a nichale. So now take this back to the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Tosfos claims, and this explains the Gemara and Krasus. The Gemara and Krasus, well, let me not say it that way. Let's go back to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that davar she'eino mitzkaven l'cha Torah kula is chayiv. Why? Because eino mitzkaven kimitzkaven dami, and there's no p'tur melachas machshavos. What about when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos? So Rabbi Yehuda says that you potter because it's not a melachas machshavos. Once, however, it becomes a psik reshe according to Rabbi Yehuda, so then there's no distinction between nichale and lo nichale. Because once you know it's going to happen, it's called a melachas machshavos. But according to Rabbi Shimon, what's the difference? So according to Rabbi Shimon, b'chol Torah kula, davar she'eino mitzkaven is mutter because eino mitzkaven lav kimitzkaven dam. Does it have an additional p'tur of melachas machshavos? No, there is no melachas machshavos, b'chulei shas, other than Shabbos. Now, when it comes to Shabbos, if you have a davar she'eino mitzkaven, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter for two reasons. One, because it's not a melachas machshavos. Two, because eino mitzkaven lav kimitzkaven dami. For that reason, Tosfos and Shabbos Ayin Hei points out that according to Rabbi Shimon, even those melachos which don't really require a melachas machshavos in order to be chayiv, namely Chovel and Mavir, right, the case of Potzeas Achilazon, even things that don't ordinarily require a melachas machshavos, they're special exceptions where you don't need melachas machshavos. Nonetheless, you're still potter according to Rabbi Shimon by a davar she'eino mitzkaven. Why? Because you're potter like you'd be potter b'chol Torah kula. Granted that we can pretend that a davar she'eino mitzkaven by chovel is called davar melachas machshavos, because it doesn't matter whether you call it a melachas machshavos or you say you don't need a melachas machshavos. But it's still eino mitzkaven, and it's still potter, like you'd be potter the kilayim and potter in saras and everything else. You're potter because it's davar she'eino mitzkaven. That's what Tosfos says explicitly in Shabbos Ayin Hei. So now Reb Chaim comes back. Now, what would that mean for Rabbi Shimon then? So I give you one example for Rabbi Shimon where melachas machshavos is irrelevant in Hilchos Shabbos, and therefore you would have been chayiv except for the fact that it's a davar she'eino mitzkaven. So now let's go. What? So now let's go to psik reshe. So why is psik reshe worse than a davar she'eino mitzkaven? Because you know it's going to happen, and therefore it's a melachas machshavos. So say the same thing, that according to Rabbi Shimon, even though psik reshe is a melachas machshavos, you're still potter because it's a davar she'eino mitzkaven. Unless it's nichale, because now when it's a psik reshe and it's nichale, so not only is it melachas machshavos, but it's also mitzkaven because it's nichale. Now nichale only makes it mitzkaven probably when you know it's going to happen. Now, perhaps almost by definition, when you don't know what's going to happen, you really can't say nichale. Well, nichale means that, obviously, when it automatically happens, and it's nichale, I had kavana, because I knew it was going to happen, and I want the result. When I don't know what's going to happen, so automatically, the fact that it's nichale doesn't make you automatically miscopying. But when it's a psik reisha, the nichale, so then the psik reisha does away with the problem of lachas machshavos. And nichale does away with the problem of davar she'eino mitzkaven. And that's why Rabbi Shimon, according to Abaye and Rabbam, Vayav Rabba Dami Tafayim, Modi Rabbi Shimon Psik Reisha V'layamas. Now how does this help our problem? So come back to the case of Tzad Nachash. The kasha we had, was according to the Rambam, how can he say that Malacha Shrein Tzuch L'Guf is Chayiv and Mafis Mursa is Mutter? The answer is simple. Because Mafis Mursa is a Psik Reisha L'Nichalei. And even if you hold that Malacha Shein Tzicha L'Gufa is Chayim, what do you need to hold that in order for Psik Reisha the Nalichale to be Mutter or Potter? What do you need to hold? In order for Psik Reisha the Nalichale to be Potter or Mutter on Shabbos, what must you hold? By Davar Sheni Miskaven. What does the Rambam hold by Davar Sheni Miskaven? Like Rabbi Shimon. So Reb Chaim says, why did Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, why did Rav in the Gemara and Shabbos of Zayin Amid Beis invoke Malach Hashem and Tzvichu Lagufa to pater you on this? Why? Because Rav held like what? Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda by Davar Sheni Miskaven, and therefore according to Rabbi Yehuda by Davar Sheni Miskaven, that is pater avalasa lagabe Shabbos, once it's a psik resha, whether it's Nichalei or Lo Nichalei doesn't matter. According to Rav, even though Mafis Mursa might be a Psik Reish Lo Nichalei, Mitzad Psik Reish Lo Nichalei, according to Rav, who paskins like Rabbi Yehuda by Davar Sheni Miskaven, every Psik Reish is Chayiv. But, and therefore what? And therefore, Rav invokes what? He invokes the Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa, which he holds like Rabbi Shimon, that it's Pater. Because the Mafis Mursa also happens to be a Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa. I believe by definition almost every psik resha of the Lo Nichalei is going to be also a Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa. The reverse, the way we define the difference between the two earlier, may not be so. But every Malach Hashanit Tzricha, every psik resha of the Lo Nichalei is going to be by definition also a Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa. So if you hold a Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa, it's Pater, then the psik resha of the Nichalei is going to be Pater because it's a Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa. But it might be also. But if you hold that psikration, if you hold that Davar Sheni Miskaven is mutter, then you'll also hold that psikration of the Nolichalei is mutter. Because what really is a psikration of the Nolichalei? What is another term for a psikration of the Nolichalei? Davar Sheni Miskaven? That's all it is? And Reb Chaim says, that's how you understand why Shmuel says what he says. That's why Shmuel says that Mafis Morse is pater and mutter, like the other two things. And that's why Shmuel can at the same time hold Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa, because Shmuel holds that Davar Sheni Miskaven is Mutter. And therefore, the Rambam basically is essentially following the Psach of Shmuel, and that's why the Rambam can hold Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa, and nonetheless, Mafis Mursa and Sad Nachash are Potter, a Mutter, because it's a Davar Sheni Miskaven, a Psik Resha of the Lo Nichalei. That's what Ruchaim says. It's absolutely brilliant. There's even a shtickle remez to it, I think, in the Lashon of the Mishnah, in Kimisasek Vashalo Yishchenu. And Misasek comes under what closest category? What's the closest relative of Misasek in the Malach Shabbos, in the Torah of Shabbos? Davar Sheni Miskaven, right? Davar Sheni Miskaven is, I don't have intent for the byproduct. Misasek is, I don't have intent for the Malach at all. All the other Torah Malachs Malcheves have full intent, but it's done in a funny way, for a funny purpose, for a funny goal, and so on and so forth. Malach Shein Tzichu Gufa, I do the Malach, you know, but for the wrong intent, but there is intent to do the action. Davar Sheni Miskaven, the argument is because I don't actually do the action, it's a byproduct, it's ain't no kimiskaven dami, and misasek vada in most cases, there's no preceding kavana, or there's no preceding kavana for that action.
So, I'm wondering why, if a certain case would fall into both categories of Davar Sheni Miskaven and Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa, why would playing around with using one or using the other?
Well, the advantages of Davar Sheni Miskaven is that it's mutter.
But it's not
no, 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 no. This is sort of like, in order to qualify, you have to have all the qualities. We don't say, sometimes, let's say you do a Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa, but you're Mekalkel. Can anyone think of an example? Chofer Guma Vein Tzarechal Afra, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Pater. Rabbi Shimon Pater is because it's Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa. Rabbi Yehuda Pater is the Gemara says because it's Mekalkel. Right? So it's a Malach Hashanit Tzricha Lagufa, that's Mekalkel.
So why do we choose in that case?
Well, let me frame it this way, Ozzy. In order for you to be chayav on a Malacha, number one, you have to have kavana for it. Number two, you have to do it for the right purpose. Number three, it has to be a tikkun. Number four, you have to do the entire Malacha. Number five, you have to do it kedarka. Number six, I don't know what the sixth is. That's part of kavana, okay? So, if a malacha fails on any of those counts, throw it out. So when you have a situation on Nichalei, there are two elements that lack in it. One is that there's no kavana, at least according to Rabbi Shimon. One is that there's no kavana. Two is that typically you don't do the action for the intended result because you're not even interested in the result. Right? So even if you argue the malacha shein tzuguf is chayiv, so that just means the fact that you're not interested in that result is not a p'tur. But the fact that you had no kavana for that result is a p'tur. The fact that you were latke miskafe in dami is a p'tur. Correct. I mean, a malacha tzricha legufa meets one of the criteria that are required to make something a malacha daraisa. But if you're missing some of the others, you potter midaraisa for other reasons. And you're not chayiv automatically in a malacha tzricha legufa. You're chayiv if the only chisaron is malacha tzricha legufa. And you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so then you're chayiv on it. But if there's something else lacking, like makalka, like klachayad, like davashin and miskavin, like misasik, so who's why should be chayiv? Yes.
Most secretion uniquely, most cases that are secretion uniquely, according to Rav Shimon, so you're lacking both kavana for that, and usually you're also lacking the actual kula, the actual like the normal kula that you use to get that outcome.
You want to argue that davashin and miskavin should be shalok kadarko?
No. I'm just saying, and then according to...
Well, that's the totzah, what you're saying, isn't it?
What?
You're saying that's not the normal way you do it.
No, but I'm saying...
It's a good question.
The categories that the Rambam uses, according to Magid Mishnah, I mean, he says...
Doma b'tachas and doma b'pula.
And davar she'eino is covered by according to Rav Shimon. It's neither, so it's not, it shouldn't be a malach at all.
According to Rabbi Shimon, davashin miskavin. No. You're getting it wrong. You're mixing apples and oranges. When I water my hands over the grass, so that is water. That the pu'ula in that malacha is watering the grass. You could ask me a better question: why is it in the kalahariyat? In that case, literally, okay, but. Yeah, you know, but in general, why isn't every davashin and miskavin even sikreshe a shinui? That's not the way you normally do the malacha. Now, by a chicken, it is the normal way. Cutting off its head is the normal way you do the malacha. But what the Rambam says is as follows. If there's a malacha of tochein, so tochein has a way you do tochein, meaning not a way in which you do tochein, a way in which it happens, it's done. Meaning grinding, use taking a substance and cutting it into smaller pieces, and it also has and then there's also a tachlis that's required that you want it for food purposes, the way the Kalkela Shabbos says. Okay, now when I do something with psikresha, assuming that the malacha, the thing, gets ground, even though the normal way to do things is not to do A so that B happens, namely the grinding up of the food. So that's still called doma pu'ula. The purpose is there is for defining where a malacha fits. Where having, however you get it done, it may be mutter because it's klach hayad, it may be mutter because it's a grama, but having flour ground up, okay, or having something ground up, if it's doma, both in the fact that the flour gets ground, something gets broken up into tiny, tiny pieces, and in what you're going to do with those tiny pieces, so that means it's dome bepeula and it's dome betachlis, and then it's an amalacha. If it's missing one of those, it's a tolda. What you're saying is, if this is not the normal way the peula is done, namely to do A so that leads to the result B, so you want to know, well, it shouldn't be a malacha at all. What I'm telling you is that might mean it's kalachayad. In other words, the malacha gets done. The malacha happens in this similar peula and similar tachlis. So that might be a shinui. That's a good question, but I wouldn't say that it's not a malacha. It's a different question. I'm not doing the malacha in a normal way. Am I grinding up the spices? Am I having the spices ground up for the purposes of grinding, whatever it is, that I only grind things up? Yes. How did I do it? I did it by doing A and getting a byproduct B. I would call that kalachayat. I would not say that it's not. It's an excellent question what you're asking, but I wouldn't say that it's not b'chlal al-vatolda, that it's not a malacha. Besides, if you were only different in the pool anyway, you would only get out of one, it would still be a tolda. But it does raise the question of why that's not considered b'shinui, kalachayat, in some cases.
Or that what you said about Mafis Morsa, that you said is that a regular action would be the cutting it to make a peda. You're squeezing.
I'm squeezing the pus, and the pus goes and makes a pesach. The pus has to find a way out.
And that's the normal way you make a peda.
No, so you could ask. I agree. So yeah.
That's not shinui. That's not doing the same action.
Oh, so you want to argue? The answer to my question might be
that if you do A, if whatever you do the normal way, and the byproduct occurs, that's not called Bishina. You could say that, and that might be the answer. Yes. Okay. I mean, if you squeeze the pus out by taking your teeth, let's say, which is not normal, that would be called a shinui. And then a shinui in a particular ratio, then al nihalei. But if you take your hand and you squeeze that, that's the normal way of squeezing the pus out. And then that's not called shinui. Okay, I can accept that.
No, I'm saying that squeezing it would be a different pool. Would not be the same pool as...
Squeezing it causes a pesach to be open. But I might argue with shinui in the pesach, then that's not called a shinui. Even though that's not the normal way you can make a Pesach, because you didn't make a Pesach. What you did was you squeezed the pus, and that you did normally. The Pesach came in Mela, and therefore we don't say that that's Bishinoi.
Not only that, that the fact that the Pesach came in Mela, it didn't come in Mela through a normal action.
So I'm trying, so now you accept, do you like my question or you not like my question? About Shina, why it's, everyone's not called a Shina.
Yeah.
You like it. And what I'm telling you is that the only time I'm suggesting the answer for my question is that it's only called the shinui when the action you do is unusual. But when the action I do is normal for that action, and then I get a byproduct from that, that's not called the shinui. That's called a psikresha. You can only say that a malacha is done b'shinui when you do the malacha. In this case, I didn't do the malacha. Maybe I was niskaving for the malacha, maybe I wasn't, and the malacha was done, and maybe it gets linked to me, but you can't say that I did the malacha b'shinui when I didn't do the malacha in the first place. Okay. Fine. Okay. And if that's what Reb Chaim says. So, given the time, I'm not going to belabor the point by Reb Chaim. That would be a little bit troublesome. But basically, that's what Reb Chaim says. It's purely brilliant. And the truth is, it really starts with the Baal Anthosos. It's a very, very lucid analysis. I'm not convinced it's what was driving the Rambam here. Again, you do have to find the Svara, but the Rambam is, the Rambam Paskins Kipshutan Shomemer. So you do have to find the Svara. So you're either going to have to adopt Reb Chaim or the Magen Mishnah. I'm more inclined to think that Pshutan Shel Devarim is what the Magen Mishnah says, but I find Reb Chaim remarkably appealing. I'm just not convinced the Rambam meant that way. Even though the Reb Chaim, I think, says it's true independent of whether that was the Rambam's Kavanah here. Whether it was the Rambam's Kavanah or not. Okay, any questions about that? Okay. So tomorrow, please make sure you've done the Rambam first parak. And the Kalkela Shabbos, does anyone have it here? Really, no. So you should do, at least in my printed editions, you should basically do until he starts giving you the three kinds of Shavuos and Shabbos. It's basically the first page, and I think sort of one full column mostly, maybe a little more, a little less, of the next page.